How many of you would like to improve your life today? Anybody could see some improvement? Well, you are in the right place. This morning, it's one step. Just one thing. If you will do this one thing, you will improve your life immediately. Now, the bad news is it's not so easy. Open your Bibles to Proverbs 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Glenn caught me and said, "Hey, I kind of like to read the verses before we start. I can't read the whole book before service begins." And so we're not going to read the whole book of Proverbs today, although that may not be a bad thing to do on a Sunday. But we are going to look at several verses. So I hope you will have your Bible open and you will be willing to flip a few pages here in Proverbs as we learn how to improve our lives in one not-so-easy step. Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 1. We'll start by reading the first seven verses of this great book. If you're willing and able, would you stand as we read our text? The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's pray. O Lord, teach us this morning. Show us through your holy word what it is that we need to know and believe and do. Give us the faith and the courage to respond as we ought to. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So let me offer this disclaimer. Some days, some weekends, as you are leaving, some of you will shake my hand, you'll grab my hand, and you'll say, "You were preaching directly to me. Were you sitting in my kitchen this week? Because that was what I needed to hear." And the answer is no. So here's the secret about preaching. I'm usually preaching to myself. And you're just as messed up as I am. That's the truth, okay? So all these sermons that I preach, this is really for me, and if it helps you, praise God for that. And so, as I say this, I want you to understand I'm talking to me. And if it applies, well, there you go. One step, one thing that you can do right now that will immediately improve your life. Now, I'm going to say it negatively, and then I'll spend the rest of the sermon positively, okay? Here it is. Are you ready? You might want to write this down. Just four words. Don't be an idiot. Michael reminded me of this as we were talking and preparing for today's worship service. He reminded me of that old Bob Newhart sketch. Do you remember watching Bob Newhart? He's the therapist, and the lady comes in and she's talking about all her problems. And what does he say? He says, "Stop it. Stop it. You see, I keep making bad choices. Stop it. My life is a mess. Stop it." And this morning I want you to know, you can immediately improve your life. Your life will get immediately better if you'll just stop being an idiot. Now, remember, I'm talking to me, okay? So this probably doesn't apply to any of the rest of you. I know. I know. But if it does, there you go. Maybe you're already offended because I'm using this word. You know, Miss Angela, I know we don't use that word at Miss Angela's daycare. That's time out time right there. So let me use a more biblical word. Don't be foolish. Don't be a fool. God wants us, and here's it positively stated, God wants us to be wise. God wants us to live wisely. Friends, you will improve your life if you start living wisely. If you start exercising wisdom in your life. Now, that doesn't mean that all your problems go away. That doesn't mean that life gets immediately easier. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden everything's fixed. But if you will start living wisely, you are going to put yourself on the path that God wants you to be on. And that's always the right path. So, what is this wisdom? If you want to improve your life, learn to be wise. So let's define wisdom. Defining wisdom, verse 7 helps us to understand what it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This word wisdom generally means skill. It's just the ability to successfully do something. So Rich Lewick, for example, is wise when it comes to lawnmowers. The guy knows how to fix lawnmowers. Me, not so much. I sometimes know how to turn the key right, and that's about it. But Rich has skill, and that's why so many of us over the years have gone to Rich. Hey, Rich, I can't get it started. I can't get it to, it's not running right. And he just kind of tinkers around, and he knows he's got the skill. He has the wisdom. That's what this word at its core means. It just simply means to have skill in something. And most all of us in here are skillful in something in life. We have some skill. We have some measure of expertise in some area. Proverbs is about learning and developing the skill of living life successfully. It takes skill to live a successful life. Have you ever known somebody who was book smart, but they were street dumb? They had no common sense. You know, we call it common sense, but it's not so common, is it? It is not very common at all. Proverbs is trying to help us learn how to live life successfully. And the heart of wisdom, living life successfully, is learning to fear the Lord. Now, when I was in the third grade, my teacher was Mrs. Simmons. Third grade was a key year for me. That was the year that I got sent to the principal's office for cussing on the bus. Because I went to the biggest, I read the story, I had the John the Baptist storybook, and I was fired up. And so that morning I get on the bus with my John the Baptist storybook in my backpack, and I went to the biggest, baddest 8th grade girl named Lori Vaughn. Don't you laugh, those girls are mean. I go up to Lori Vaughn and I tell her, Lori, if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. And so she goes to Mr. Ross, our principal, and says, no, it was cussing on the bus. And so I go to Mr. Ross, calls me in, and I say, yeah, I told her she's going to go to hell. If she don't get saved, then you will too. And so later that year, we were in third grade class. I don't remember what the subject was, and I don't even remember why, but we start talking about fearing the Lord. I guess I heard the sermon the day before about fear the Lord, and I told Mrs. Simmons, you better be afraid of God. He's going to get you. And she says, that's not what that means. And we start arguing back and forth what it means to fear God. And finally, she throws up her hands and she said, no, you're going to be a preacher or a politician. Well, thank God I'm a preacher, not a politician. The fear of the Lord is having reverence and regard and respect for God. That's what it means to fear the Lord. We don't have to be afraid of God in the sense that we're afraid He's going to come and smash us like bugs, although He could and He can if He wanted to, but that's not what this means. This means for us to have reverence for God, to have regard and respect for Him. He is our Creator. He is our Sovereign. And He is wise and He is good. And for us to fear the Lord means that we honor Him in our lives. More particularly, it means to see and understand life from God's perspective. Because He created us, because He made us, and because He rules all that there is, including you and me, it means that we see and understand and perceive and approach life from God's perspective. Not the world's perspective, not our own perspective. So here's the definition I want you to think about. Wisdom is the skill of living the way God wants us to live life. That's what wisdom is. It's the skill of living the way God wants you to live. It's following God's plan and agenda for you as laid out in Scripture. That's what it means to be wise. And anytime we deviate from that plan, anytime we step outside of what God wants for us, we are living foolish lives. And anytime we live foolishly, we put ourselves in the middle of misery. So how do we develop wisdom? This is what wisdom is. It's living life the way God wants us to live. So how do we become wise? How do we learn this skill? Flip the page to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 8. My son, by the way, the book of Proverbs is written from the perspective of a father talking to his son who is coming of age. So you'll see this repeated phrase, my son, my son, my son. And that doesn't mean you daughters are excluded. Okay, this is just the rhetorical device, the rhetorical perspective the book is written from. It's from a father to his son. And it still has bearing for all of us. Okay, so you just interpret it that way. So my son or my daughter, my child, my offspring, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For He guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones. How do we learn to fear the Lord? How do we develop wisdom in our lives? These verses give us five things to do. First, we must prioritize wisdom. If you want to develop wisdom, if you want to cultivate the fear, the reverence, respect for God in your life, you have to, first of all, prioritize it. You have to say, this is important. Verse 1, accept my words, store up my commands. Make this a priority in your life. You know, not everyone wants to be wise. Those of you who work in school know this to be true. You deal with children and you try to tell them, you try to give them instruction, and they don't care. They don't want to listen. Not everyone wants to be wise. And this morning, you have to decide, I want wisdom. I don't simply want to live the way that I have been living, and I don't want to continue to do what I have done. I want to start living the way God wants me to live. I want to approach life from God's perspective. You have to decide wisdom is worth having and important. Number two, we must pursue wisdom. Verse 2. We pursue wisdom by turning our ears to wisdom, by applying our heart to wisdom. We have to look for wisdom. It doesn't just drop in our laps. We look for wisdom. We watch the way wise people live. We chase after wisdom. We want it. We listen. We ask questions. We apply ourselves to get wisdom. We listen and we learn from those who are wise. This means that wisdom takes work. It takes discipline. And you have to decide that you want wisdom in your life. You have to pursue it. And you have to do the things that help you learn to become wise. Number three, we pray for wisdom. We have to pray for wisdom. Verse 3 tells us to call out for insight. Cry aloud for understanding. We pray. We ask God. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom. Does that describe anybody this morning? If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Have you ever been in a situation where you really needed some information, but you were too embarrassed to ask for it? Anybody? Well, I have. You know, usually when I'm driving, you know, I don't want to ask directions. For some reason, we don't want to ask God for wisdom. Yet James tells us we ought to ask God, and when we ask God, He gives it to us. Hey, you want a guaranteed answered prayer in your life? Start praying for wisdom. You got a promise right here in Scripture. God will give it to you. God will provide you wisdom. Ultimately, we need to understand that wisdom comes from God. If wisdom is living life by God's plan or agenda, it means that we have to see things from His perspective. And prayer, it aligns our hearts and our minds with God. It brings us into His presence where we will grow in wisdom. So we need to pray for wisdom. And then fourth, we prize wisdom. We prize wisdom. Verse 4, if you look for it as for silver, search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. What's the most precious thing that you have? Sometimes we play this game, you know, what if, God forbid, our houses catch fire and you can only grab one thing? And assuming the people and the animals are all out, what's the one thing that you're going to grab? And usually it's, you know, the pictures or whatever. But what is it that you are going to take? What is it that you're going to grab onto? Solomon says, you need to treasure wisdom. You need to treat it as more precious than silver or gold. It is the most valuable thing that you can have, Solomon says. So cherish it and guard it. Take pleasure in it. Delight in it. When I was a kid, we liked to watch Scrooge McDuck. Who knows who Scrooge McDuck is? Yeah, you poor kids, you don't know who Scrooge McDuck is. Scrooge McDuck, he was the rich uncle of Donald Duck. And he built this great big huge vault. And at the beginning of his cartoon, every time he would come out and he would dive off the diving board and dive into his piles and piles of money. And he would just kind of swim around in all these coins. I think that probably was not, you know, accurate, but it was a cartoon and it brought the point out well. He took delight, he took pleasure in it. And here we read, we need to treat wisdom the same way. Cherish it, delight in it, treasure it, value it. After Solomon became king, God gave him one wish. God appears to Solomon in a vision, in a dream, and he says, you can ask for anything you want and I'll give it to you. And what does Solomon ask for? It wasn't riches. It wasn't to have his enemies wiped out. It wasn't for anything else. Solomon says, give me a wise and discerning heart so that I can govern these people. He could have had anything he wanted, and he asked for the right thing. He asked for wisdom, and God said, you get it. I give it to you. And because it's what you asked for, I'll give you all this other stuff as well. If you get wisdom, everything else in your life is going to start falling into place. So let's talk about demonstrating wisdom. We know what wisdom is. It's living life the way that God wants you to. The way that you do it is by prizing wisdom, by praying for wisdom, pursuing wisdom, prioritizing wisdom in our lives. We make it a priority and we get it. And now, how do we demonstrate wisdom in our lives? What is it going to look like? What's wisdom going to look like when we live wisely? Look at chapter 3. Flip a page to chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Proverbs 3, 1 to 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. And do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, as a father the son He delights in. So, let me give you a 5-question test to see whether or not you are living wisely, whether you're demonstrating wisdom in your life. So, question number 1, am I reflecting God's character? A wise person will reflect God's character in the way that they live. We see this in verses 3 and 4. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. God is marked by love and faithfulness. We're told that God is the God of love. And that He is faithful. He is committed to all He has promised. And godly people will reflect these characteristics, these traits. We will love and act in a loving way in all that we do. A wise person is always operating from the basis of love and faithfulness. And if you're not, then you're not living a wise life. So, think about the way you interact with people. Think about that last time somebody really made you angry and you really decided to let them have it. Were you operating on the basis of love? Now, this doesn't mean that we let injustice and inequity go and we say, oh, well, just trample all over people. No, but the wise person is going to operate on the basis of love to pursue what is good and right and just and fair. And we're going to be faithful. We're going to be committed to what is good. A wise person wants to become more and more like God in terms of holiness, faithfulness, love, and goodness. The fool, on the other hand, will give in to any impulse, any desire, not caring about character at all. So the first question, the first check mark to see if we're demonstrating wisdom by the way we're living is asking, am I reflecting God's character? Number 2, am I trusting God's guidance? Verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him. Am I trusting God's directions for my life? Do I listen to God's Word? Am I conforming to what Scripture teaches? Do I believe the Bible above all else? Or is culture or popular opinion or my preferences clouding what I think and the way I live? Am I trusting God's guidance? Am I trusting God's direction in my life? And I know, and because many of you come to me and you say, well, I need direction in this particular area. And, you know, we work through something and, you know, maybe it's, do I take this job? Do I take that job? Do I move to this place or do I move to that place? What do I do on these particular questions? And we work through that, but generally speaking, the Bible addresses a lot of the things, a lot of the issues that we have to wrestle with. And if we're not doing the things the Bible tells us to do, we are living foolishly. Am I trusting God's guidance? Am I doing the things that He's made very clear to me? Number 3, Am I submitting to God's authority? This is related to trusting God's guidance, but this is more particular. Am I submitting to God's authority? Verses 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Is God's opinion, is God's law, is God's word supreme? Do I say, you know what? I don't understand it. I don't see it. It doesn't make sense. But God, your word says this, and I believe you. And even though I can't see, I'm going to obey. Is that how you live your life? The wise are very careful to submit to God, even when it's not popular, even when it's not culturally acceptable. The most important question you are going to wrestle with is, what would God have me do? The last question you ever want to answer is, what do I want? Because the truth is, we usually want bad stuff. And God always wants the good stuff. Am I submitting to God's authority in my life? Number 4. Am I honoring God materially? Verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. The book of Proverbs is a very earthy book. It deals in practical, day-to-day, everyday matters. It is not spiritually minded like Romans is, thinking you know, theologically, but it's very practical. But don't misunderstand Proverbs, because it has deep theology for us, and it applies it to this everyday stuff. The wise person says, I'm going to honor God, and the most immediate, visible manifestation of honoring God in your life is with the stuff that you have. So ancient Israel was primarily agrarian, like many of us. It was a farm community. And they would go and they would plant their fields. They would tend their flocks. And when it was harvest time, they were called to give the first fruits, the very best, the first produce to the Lord. Not because God is impoverished and was hungry and cold until the food came in and the wool came in. No, God doesn't need anything that we have, but He wants us to remember that He is to come first in our lives, and everything that we have is a gift from Him. When we honor the Lord materially, we're putting God first in our finances and resources. Now, can we be honest? How many of you would say one of the biggest worries that you have is money or financially related things? Would anybody want to admit that today? Yeah, okay, 3 of us are honest. Thank you for that. We it's one of the biggest. We worry about that stuff. And here, Proverbs is telling us, trust God with what you have. Trust that God will take care of you. Trust that God will provide for you. If you do that, you're living wisely. By the way, it's not just about money. It's about strumming your ukulele up here. If you got the ability to strum a ukulele, or sing, or tend the garden, or whatever it is, you take your talent, your resources, what you have, and you offer it to God. Number 5, am I receiving God's correction? My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent His rebuke. Man, I did not like getting in trouble when I was growing up. And I know my kids don't like getting in trouble either. It's not fun to be disciplined. But it is a good thing when it comes from a loving father. Wise people understand that they mess up and that they need correction. And wise people are willing to learn from their mistakes. They are quick to repent of their sins. And they are willing to learn and then go forward. And God in His mercy exposes our errors. He disciplines us in love. And He does this through the Spirit's conviction. He does it through the church, through other believers, the circumstances in our lives. So the wise person says, Lord, I'm willing to listen. And when You correct me, when You expose my error, I'm not going to bristle. I'm not going to bow up against You, but I'm going to humbly submit and receive the correction. Are you receiving God's correction in your life? Those are just five questions you can ask yourself. If the answer is yes, then you're living wisely. If the answer is no, then you're being a fool. Well, for the last couple of minutes, I want to show this in a very practical way. I'm trying to set up a framework for you to read and understand Proverbs. And I would commend the reading of Proverbs to you. It's 31 chapters. You read it in about a month. A little more than a chapter a day most months. You get in there and you dive in and you start learning. So let me just kind of illustrate how to deploy wisdom in your life, how to get into Proverbs and think about it. Okay, this kind of practical application, and then we're going to close out. So Proverbs, the book, touches every major area of your life. Proverbs talks about marriage. Proverbs talks about parenting. Talks about aging. Talks about youth. It talks about economics. It talks about poverty and lending and borrowing and commerce and business and work. It talks about neighbors. It talks about dealing with those who have authority over you. It talks about having authority over other people. It talks about things like laziness and language and all sorts of stuff. Every major broad area of life, Proverbs has something to say about it. Most of the Proverbs are one sentence long, almost like a fortune cookie. You know, you go to the Chinese restaurant and you crack open the fortune cookie. The good thing about the book of Proverbs is even though it's short, usually a sentence long, it's true, unlike those fortune cookies, and fully reliable. Proverbs are not ironclad laws. Rather, they describe life as it should be lived, life as it generally works out. So you may have a particular situation where you might be able to poke through one of those Proverbs. But it's the exception that proves the rule. Proverbs will reward you if you treat it like a dog bone. You see a dog with a bone? Just chewing on it and working it over. Trying to get to the marrow in that bone. That's what Proverbs is. You chew on it, you work it over, you work on it, all of a sudden it's going to reward you. If you just superficially read it, you're going to miss the point. So, read Proverbs. Get into it on a daily basis so that you can grow in wisdom. Let me just point out three passages, three or four verses from Proverbs to just illustrate a particular way the Proverbs talks about our words. Anybody have a problem with words? Anybody say things that you wish you didn't say? Yeah, we all do. So Proverbs has a few things to say about our use of words. So look at chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. We're going to look at just a couple of passages in Proverbs 16, 17, 18, and then we're done. Okay? Proverbs 16, verse 23. The hearts of the wise make their mouths prudent, and their lips promote instruction. The hearts of the wise make their mouths prudent. The wise carefully chooses his or her words. They choose words that are going to help and heal, not hurt. When we listen to a wise person who speaks, we learn from them because they say things that are helpful. So, does that describe the way that you talk? Does that describe the words that you say? Does that describe what you post on Facebook? Is this the way you talk to your kids? The hearts of the wise make their mouths prudent, and their lips promote instruction. Gives us pause as we think about our words. Look at chapter 17, verse 27. Chapter 17, verses 27 and 28. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. A person with knowledge and understanding is cautious in speaking. He or she weighs words carefully. They are even-tempered so they don't fly off the handle and say things that they regret. Oh, how I wish I had that skill to keep from saying things that I would later regret. The wise don't speak impulsively or thoughtlessly, especially in the heat of the moment. The wise understand the more words that we use, the more likely we are to get ourselves into trouble. So the wise will guard their lips and speak only when appropriate. A fool's speech reveals the emptiness of his character. But even a fool can maintain a reputation for wisdom if they keep their mouths shut. And the wise person knows this. And so the wise person is very judicious with their words. So the wise are choosing their words carefully. The wise are not saying everything that may pop into their brains. They're careful in what they say and reserved. And then look at Proverbs 18, verse 13. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. The wise are very careful to listen. The wise are very careful to hear and understand before speaking. Look down at verse number 17. In a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone comes forward and cross-examines. Yeah, you know what that means? That means one side of the story is believable until you hear the other side, and then, I need to hear both sides. And so, back here at verse 13, the wise says, I'm going to listen. I'm going to get all the information I can. I'm going to hear both sides of this. How many of you have read or heard a news story and you heard only one perspective of it and you jump to a conclusion immediately? And then a little bit later on you find out, oh, there was more information. Maybe that clickbait didn't quite give all the story. You ever done that? Sure, we all have. The wise person, though, understands, I'm going to use my words carefully. I'm going to control my words. I'm not going to speak until it's appropriate. I'm going to guard my words. And I'm going to make sure I have all the information before I speak. Man, I don't know about you, but man, this is going to help my parenting tremendously. This is going to help my interaction with other people so much. This immediately improves my life if I start doing this. But it's not that easy, is it? Because I like to run my mouth. And I don't like to open my ears. That's why I got to pray and ask God for help. Put a guard on my lips and open my ears. And listen, friends, Proverbs is full of heavenly wisdom for earthly living, if we're willing to listen and learn. This is just one tiny little area. And you can string these Proverbs together. You start reading Proverbs, you read a chapter a day, you're going to find something that has bearing on your life every day. I promise you. There will be something in there for you. But you just have to decide if you want wisdom or not. Proverbs it's an earthy book. It's a book about day-to-day human existence, and it calls us to wisdom. If you want to start living wisely, you'll immediately improve your life So are you wise? Are you pursuing wisdom? Are you growing in wisdom? And I want you to understand that the wisest choice, the very first step in wisdom, is described back here in Proverbs 16, verse 6. Proverbs 16, verse 6 says, "Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided." And in Proverbs 17, verse 17, we are told that a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. We understand that if we're going to be wise, we begin by having our sin atoned for, by learning to reverence God, by trusting in that friend who laid down his life for us. You know, on Memorial Day, we are so very thankful for those who have sacrificed their lives in defense of our nation. And we are rightly appreciative of them. But how much more should we be thankful for the Son of God who gave his life for our eternal lives? The wise person will give himself and herself to the Lord, trust in him, and then pursue wisdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we be wise people. May we grow in wisdom by first of all trusting in Christ who loved us and atoned for our sin by dying on the cross. As we believe and submit and trust in him, as we reverence you, may you guide us so we will live life the way you want us to live. In Jesus' name, amen.